just said the philos compel. In the back of the philos compel, we have a chart with explanations of all the things. Yeah, we have significant evidence. Tonight's Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat Pashtis is to remember a connection with Eretz Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah Leilonos. What's the significance of Rosh Hashanah Leilonos? No, it's not the Jewish Arba Day. Paskin like Beis Hillel, that the fruits that buds after Tu B'Shvat on the Ruch Chesh from Tu B'Shvat and on is in the next year's Cheshbon. The ones that were before Tu B'Shvat are on last year's Cheshbon. It's in Maisvus that you can't do from one year to the next. Now the whole Indian is a Zecher, and it's interesting, like this, they couldn't make the Zecher to be of Peres Eretz Yisrael because nobody had Peres Eretz Yisrael. And my suspicion is that's why the Boxer became something. Because that was the one thing, no matter how old it gets, it's not going to rot.
It may not be edible, but at least it doesn't
rot. Doesn't rot. So you had something from Eretz Yisrael, at least. That's what I think the pshat is for. You find a nachrayim is noyagim, but a minig of Ashkenazim, laharba is peperus. That's all. No shachiyonus, no peris Eretz Yisrael. But I think ultimately the point was the connection with Eretz Yisrael. And there's a mice of two Chassidish Rebbes. I don't recall, unfortunately, the name of either of them, but it happened, I believe, early in the 20th century. One of them moved to Eretz Yisrael. And the other was still living in Chutz Lord. So it was Chavar and Chutz Lord wrote him and asked him if he should come to live in Eretz Yisrael too. So he wrote back to him that if you're coming here to start the whole Avodas Hashem from zero, then come. If you come in here merely to continue being Oyver Hashem as you were in Chutz Lartz, in that same plane, then stay in Chutz Lartz. Meaning that when you could, the Ramban writes in Chumash Vayikra that the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lartz, and Eretz Yisrael, you have a Chotzer HaMelech. Chotzer HaMelech, you have to act differently. That's why there's a halacha, for example, about Toki Aretz Eschel. Doesn't apply in Chutz Lartz. It's an Einish, but there's no Toki Aretz Eschel. Because Chotzer HaMelech, you can't sit in the Kremlin and spit a Khrushchev's picture. That you can't do. In Uzbekistan, is a different story what you could do. So the coming to Eretz Yisrael is mechayev, a different level of avodah. And that's really what we need. It's a perspective that we need to have. So we live at a time that's b'achras hayomim. We don't know exactly how long this achras hayomim is going to be, but we're b'achras hayomim. The return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Aloy dovru, however you want to look at it. I told you Rishon Rav once, and he would not disagree with me. I said, the Novi says that before Bias HaMashiach, that Klal Yisrael is going to control Yerushalayim. We can make whatever we want of it, any spin you want to give to it. But the fact is indisputable. The Novi says in Zecharia, we're here on Sukkos, that all the nations of the world are going to come to fight against Klal Yisrael for control of Yerushalayim. So I said, I have a very simple question to ask. You know, we lived in the time of the Cold War. So Russia controlled the countries of Eastern Europe. So let's say somebody decided they want to conquer Poland. So who are you waging war against? Poland or Russia? Waging war against Russia, because they're the power that controls what goes on. So you're not fighting Poland, fighting Russia. So So if you say you're coming to Eretz Yisrael to fight against Klal Yisrael, that means the British are not in charge, because otherwise you have to wage war with the British. We're just bystanders. If you're coming to wage war against Klal Yisrael, it means that we're the ones in control. So, but however we slice it, Rabbi Achras Hayom. And what the demands of us is that we raise our sight. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam doesn't want to bring us back ultimately to Eretz Yisrael, that we should bring everything to Chutz La'aretz and live in Eretz Yisrael the same way. So there's the Tachlis. Tachlis is the realization that we will Chutz La'aretz and our Avodah has to rise. That's what it's about. It's not a continuation of the Golos. It's a different Mitzvah. With a closer kesher with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So that's what Tu B'Shvat is about, the realization of Mitzvah Atliyas Ba'aretz, of the Mitzvah of Kedushas Ha'aretz, and what it means to live in Eretz Yisrael. Tomorrow it says in Saita that why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to come to Eretz Yisrael? Did he want to eat the Peros Ha'aretz? So we take that as a laconic statement. But the Chassam Sofer, and I believe it's in the Bach as well, says it's not a laconic statement. The Geshem of Eretz Yisrael is also Kodesh. And a person that goes and partakes of the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael enhances his Kedusha. What the Gemara means to say is that Moshe Rabbeinu and his Madrega didn't need that. That didn't serve a purpose for him anymore. He was past that Madrega. But the Geshem of Eretz Yisrael is also Kodesh. Now, this is relevant to the issue of Bechlau, you know, to approach the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in Tefillah means a realization of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Kedusha and our relationship to it. You know, we at times take it casually because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gives us such access. If we want to see in business an important person, I decided I have a business interest. I want to meet the chairman of the board of one of the major corporations in the United States. How much effort am I going to have to expend until I arrange that meeting, until it takes place? It's not going to be so simple, you know. Yeah, it's true. If I'm the head of a company that's, you know, Fortune 500 company, and I want a meeting with him, yeah, and tomorrow I'll be in his office, no problem. But if I'm not, and yet it's in my interest to get there, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous amount of work until he's convinced that he wants to see me and I'll give time to meet him. And yeah, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, come knock on my door when you want. The door's open, walk in. No appointments necessary. 3 times a day. 20 times a day if you want. And we need that realization. And the Beis HaKnesses is a Mokum Kodesh. The Satmar Rebbe Zatzal said he's frightened by things which display a lack of covet for the Kedushas HaMokum of a Beis HaKnesses. And he put it in his own fashion. He said, if you go into a lahavdil, a non-Jewish house of worship, it's b'kol d'mo daka. So we're standing before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So what do we have to say for ourselves? So he says he has a limud zchus, but the kash is better than the teretz, he says. The limud zchus is that since we're over Hashem, the sultan is mafriya mo. He says, but the kash is better than the teretz. In the halachas, just want to touch before we get into this, some of the details, touch on a couple of broader themes, aspects. But Rabbi Yisrael of Salant writes that if a person wishes to raise his observance of the Torah, and particularly in a particular area of the Torah, The best way to do it is to learn the Torah, that mitzvah in depth. And it really, it coincides with what's brought in the name of the Mekubalim, I believe, from the Arizal. The Arizal says that every pasuk in the Torah is a skula, has a special power to help one fulfill the mitzvah that's in that pasuk. So Rabbi Yisrael also said it's Mekadosh a person. And it's at two levels. It's Mekadoshim, and it also gives us a deeper sensitivity and appreciation of the halacha. I made a simple cheshbon. What are shaila that we're talking about? When I can say amen, when I can't say amen. Can I answer Kedusha? I can't answer Kedusha. Can I say the Kaddish? I can't say the Kaddish. All of these things are the Chvei Shemayim. It's for the Rabbanu Shlomo's covered. And yet, there's a whole deal in the halacha. From the Shas, and all the way through the Shainim and Achronim, the Shulchan Aruch, of even in that context, what's permissible and what's not, to interrupt in the middle of davening. And every, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about Stama Mitzvah. I'm not talking about a business matter. And certainly not something mundane. It's all Kvod Shemayim. To say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, it's a pretty heavy praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And yet the halacha tells us, once I said Baruch Shalom HaGavah, I can't say it anymore. So, that's an object lesson about what the sanctity of tefillah is, what it means to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam. The chayrut of pshat is, if I have reason to see the Queen of England, so I'll arrange a meeting with the Queen of England. Go to London, or whatever, go to the palace, and I'll meet the Queen of England. Before I go, somebody has to come and tell me all the protocols. What's correct or what's not correct. This is the way you speak to the Queen, the way you act in front of the Queen, the way you walk in, you walk out, you say hello, you say goodbye. There's a whole Torah of what the Derech Eretz, the respect for the Queen is. If you go to her palace to view, so you're expected to be a mensch and to live by the protocol. So I have to study all the protocols of what it means to come before the Queen. The Rabbanu Shalom also has protocols. What's appropriate, what's inappropriate. And if we walk in before the Melech, we need to study the protocols. Just gives us an inkling of what it means. The Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, the Kedusha of being Oymed B'Tfilah before the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's a different perspective. It's a different perspective. You know, if we'd stop for one moment before we started davening, that I'm not davening, forget davening. I'm talking to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. But in different terms, forget the Siddur, forget anything that I'll say. Take out my cell phone out of my pocket and I dial 1-800 Hashem, and the Rabbi Shalom gets on the line and he says, okay, Herschel, what's up today? What do you need? Then after that, let's start the davening with the realization that that's what the tefillah is. Picked up the phone and I dialed in and the Rabbi Shalom picked up. Now, just want to, before I get into the nitty-gritty of tonight's share, I wanted to point out two things. And there's an object lesson, especially in the second one. It's a powerful lesson. What's the status? We have status, broadly, of three different areas of the tefillah. We talk about a hefsek in Pesukei Dezimra, a hefsek during the period of the Birchas Kriyashma, and a Hefsek B'Tefillah, three different areas. What's the status of the Hallel? In the middle of Hallel, what can I answer, what can't I answer? Where does it fit in? So the halacha says halal is to be treated as we treat birchas kriyas shma. Certainly halal on yontif, without any doubt. Now the chiddush, the real chiddush is, and this really needs to give us pause for thought. Let's say I'm in the middle of birchas hamazon, and I'm benching, and the guy down there having a minyan, and they get up to Yehi Shmei Rabba, they get up to Kedusha. What do I do now? Middle of Birchas HaMozen. Birchas HaMozen has the status of tefillah. I cannot even answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba in the middle of Birchas HaMozen. To look at the Lo'ilam HaYichasereinu. And that really has to give us pause for thought.
Is that a Gemara?
I don't know that it's a Gemara, but it's a hint of the Shulchan Aruch. That it is. Yeah. Of course, in the Shulchan Aruch. What? We're not talking about talking, we're talking about something else. A guy gets said Kaddish, and he's up to Yesh Meravah. So, during Psukkah de Zimra, I can answer. During Bechas Kriyashma, I can answer. During Shemoneh Esrei, I can't answer. During Halal, I can answer. In the middle of Birchas HaMozen, I can't even answer Yehi Shmei Rabba. I can't answer Kedusha. It's a din of tefillah. It's a different perspective on what Birchas HaMozen is. Someone once called the house of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, and the Rebbetzin picked up. And he said he wanted to speak to the Rav. She said, it's fine, but the Rav just started to bench. So she told him, I think you should call back, it's going to take a while. So I'll hold. 10-15 minutes went by, and she picked up the phone, and she says, is the Rav ready? He says, no. He says, the Rav's not ready. He says, I told you it's going to take a while till he benches, till he finishes benching. A different perspective. Yeah.
He says the Rav is that being between the brachas is the same thing in Birchas HaMozen?
Yeah.
Not just during it. No. I mean, you can't worship anybody, you can't answer anybody.
It's a din of tefillah.
It's very strange because people don't know at all.
I just want to tell you, this is the shocker. The Birchas HaMozen, that almost we take almost casually. And the halacha says there is a din of tefillah. It's eye opening. It's eye opening. Now, I want to talk a little about, of course, Bein HaProkim. In other words, after the Baruch of Yetziram Oiris, let's say at that point. It's hard to know exactly what status to give it. And some say that after Emes, before Vyatzim is also is considered Bein HaProkim. Now, there's a marked difference between Psukkah de Zimra and Birchas Kriyas Shma. In Psukkah de Zimra, I can answer every Amen. The Shai, the Rechayodim, is Machmer, the Chabetz Chaim quotes it, that I should only answer at a point where it's Solik and Yonah, the end of a phrase. It does not seem that most of the world observes this. But they answer every Amen. In the middle of the Birchas Kriyas Shma, I'm very limited in which Amens I could answer. I could answer Amen, Yehi Shmei Rabba Baruch La'olam Olam Olmaya. Stop, no matter, irrespective of how many say is Baruch Hanat, but here you stop. Damirim Ba'olma V'yimru Amen, that Amen, and that's it. That's all I can answer. Skaldim is Kaddish Shmei Rabba, Tremoshes Atzal Paskin, that I can answer during Psukkah de Zimra. I can't answer in the midst of Birchas Kriyas Shma. And I don't think at any point it's going to change. Now, the shaila that arises is what happens Bein HaProkim. What's the din of Bein HaProkim? In between the Prokim, what can I answer, what can't I answer? So, there's, first of all, there's a Machlekes, I believe the Mogen Avraham and others. The Mogen Avraham Shita is that one can answer Amen in the midst of a Brocha for that Brocha. In other words, let's say I'm in the middle of the Brocha. Oh, the Yotzer Oreh Vorech Oishach. I'm somewhere in that Brocha. I didn't finish yet. And the guy next to me says, Yotzer Oreh Vorech. So according to the Mogen Avraham, even though I'm still in the midst of the Brocha, I'm allowed to answer Amen. But we don't pask in that way. We pask in that even the Amen for that Brocha, I can't answer in the midst of the Brocha. At the end of the Brocha, everyone agrees that I can answer Amen by Yotzer Oreh Vorech. Shaila is, what about all the rest of the Amens that are not for this Brocha and not Triyesh Me Rabba? And we'll see, there are two more exceptions. What about a regular run-of-the-mill Amen? What's its status? Can I answer that Amen? Bein HaProkim. So interestingly, there's a Machlekes Achronim about it. There are some say that one may not answer any Amen other than the Amen for that Brocha, or the very special Amens. And the Chofetz Chaim is inclined, like Rabbi Kiveger and others, that one can answer every Amen, Bein HaProkim. So that's a very big license. But, so, that's one significant aspect of the Din Bein HaProkim. What to do with the Brocha of HaBuch Rabbama Yisrael B'Yavo is b'machleikus shnuya in theory and b'machleikus shnuya in practice. The issue is, can I be mafsik between that brocha and Kriya Shema? And as we find in some of the Rishonim, their sense of that brocha is that it's together, not only is it a birchas haTorah, but it's a birchas haMitzvahs on Kriya Shema. Ben Yonah writes that if I was yotze Kriya Shema, whether I davened before his man, So I was yotze the birchas Kriya Shema, and I wasn't yotze Kriya Shema yet. And now I come at night. Now it's at night, and I'm going to repeat Kriya Shema now to be yotze the mitzvah. So Rabbi Yonah says I have to make a brocha. Shekutzanu v'toseh v'tzivanu the Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema. It's a birchas hamitzvahs. So different than any other. So normally the Avraham Rabbah the Avraham Salim is the birchas hamitzvahs for it too. So from that standpoint, one of the things you're not supposed to do is to answer Amen between the time you make a birchas. When I make a birchas a mitzvah, and between that and being yoytze a mitzvah, I can't answer Amen. If you're being yoytze me with the bracha for this mitzvah, so I can say Amen. It's part of being yoytze. That if I'm, let's say, blowing shofar for myself, and I made a bracha l'shmoya kol shofar, and then I hear a guy next to me also says l'shmoya kol shofar, and he's blowing shofar for himself, I can't answer Amen at his word. If I do, I have to make a new bracha. So there are those that look at the bracha of Avraham Rabbah in that fashion, and consequently, you can't answer Amen to it. And some say you're supposed to answer Amen to it. What happens, Lamaisa? You know, the Jews can't have one practice. Pastors, Jews, they have one practice. So, Chofetz Chaim liked the idea of finishing the bracha boicher ba'amu yisrael b'yavo together with the chazan. So if I finish the bracha together with him, except with rare exception, like at the end of a whole series of brachas like shomer amu yisrael ad, if I finished with him, I could answer amen. Because there are those, in fact, the mechaber holds I answer amen even if I didn't finish with him. I said it on my own. But so the Chofetz Chaim preferred finishing together with the chazan to avoid the problem, but not the whole world didn't follow the Chofetz Chaim in Mir Yeshiva, and I believe in many other yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. If I remember, Ponovich, I think also that I saw, everyone finished the Bechor Ba'am Yisrael V'Yavo, and the chazan finished, and they said Amen, and then they started Shema. So Lemaisa, we have a chuluk in practice, not only in theory but in practice, what to do. They have once called for an aliyah in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shma. In the middle of Shmon Esrei, you don't do anything. Now it's the Gavis problem what to do. So if you're a Kohen or a Levi, you're supposed to call somebody else up in your place, but without calling their name. Right? Yisrael, they could even call your name. But so the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's very interesting what happened here. It's very interesting how the Minhagim of Klal Yisrael emerge. Siman Tzalach Vav. So we have the following. Kayin. Shayakayre Kriyashma. Start with the Kayin first. Because the Kayin is the most sensitive. Because the Kayin is certainly his issue of Pagan if he doesn't go up. Ukra'uhu likreis patorim. And they called him up to read in the Torah. Yesh mishayim asham mafsik. V'yesh mishayim asham mafsik. Some say that he should be mafsik. Why should he be mafsik? The need of Kavod HaTorah. And if we say that if a person comes and says Shalom Aleichem to me for his Kavod, I interrupt. So how about the Kavod of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that I'm called to come to his Torah? So they say that I should stop for that reason. And the second, and then we have V'yesh Mishayim Mashayim Mafsik. And some say that there should not be Mafsik. The Rajba. Why? It's not a Bizoyan HaTorah. Why? Because the reason that I'm not coming is because I'm being Isaac B'mitzvah. So how could that be a Gnai for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? And he says, the question of a Pagam for the Kayin, if you call him and he doesn't come up. So people see he's in the middle of Kriya Shema, so there won't be a Pagam either. And there is a very interesting halacha which comes forth. Let's say he's the only kohen in shul. Nobody else. No other kohen. What do you do? So you can actually call up a Yisrael in his place, since he's not roy to go up according to them. Yisrael can go. That means there's no kohen that's able to take the aliyah in it. Now what happened is a very surprising thing. The Shulchan Aruch paskin v'halacha kidvarav, that the halacha is like the second view of the Shulchan Aruch. So, but what happened to Maisa? The Achroinim Kosvu, the Kahayoim, the Achroinim write, today, Noyagin Oilim Kayeshoim Kamo. The Minigan Klal Yisrael is not like the Shulchan Aruch. The Minigan Klal Yisrael is like the first Yeshoim. The Philip of Koro Yukoro Yisrael. And this applies even if a Yisrael was called for the Aliyah, who Omeid Be'emta Kriyashma. He's in the middle of Kriya Shema, and there certainly what's the problem of Denucha Lahasig Yisrael Acher, even though we can certainly get another Yisrael to take his place. Ava Pikein Noyegin Shemav Sikrim Dekvod HaTorah. When Noyeg, then because of Kavod HaTorah that he goes up. Levad, what's the exception? And we'll only deposit Shema Yisrael of Ruch Shem Kvod Mechusa Leolam Vod. In these first two sentences, Lo Yavsik Bem Tzon. Don't make a hefsek because you're going to have to make the brochas. And the yigmarim v'achar kach yala. And then go up. Yeah. V'in the shanois ha-minog v'nei ha-machleikas. And the Morgan of Rome already wrote, we should not change the minogos of machleikas. This is well established. Acham yuchol amara, the simon ha-perek, yimar, if he could conceivably get up to the end of the perek in Kriya Shema, that would be the best idea. V'in meir yuchol the simon ha-perek, and if he can't get up to a parak, Yisayim al-Kobon al-Hechel is-Solok in-Yonah, to where there's a break in the action. Ach la'akev ishvil zelo ya'akev, we shouldn't make tichot the tzibur of us. Now this is a very interesting thing, because this is a spin that's going to spin differently for Ashkenazim and Sfaradim l'chayor. Omnom lo yikro him a-chazam. He shouldn't read along with the chazam, because he can be yitzi with the evidence without reading along. And he's the Rosh Shlomo Zalman said even by Ben HaProkim he shouldn't read along. And he bases this upon the fact, it's not muchrach that he has to read along. In other words, the Shaila is, for example, let's say a person can't see, so he can't really read along. So we paskin that such a person is allowed to be called for an aliyah. So he doesn't have to read along. He needs to without that. I once went with a person that had problems with his vision, and I went with him to Rabbi Yoshev, and this person is a big Yoreh Shamayim, and he didn't want to take aliyahs because he can't see the Torah. And Rabbi Yoshev told him, Klora Divura, he wouldn't, you know, back off. The minhag is paskin that even if you can't, you just listen to the chazan and that's enough, and you should continue to take aliyahs, and that's it, finished. No chumras. So memeila, you shouldn't now. This lechayra is only relevant for Ashkenazim. When the Sephardic countries, with a minhag, when the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you're going to go up. So what's going to happen? So then you're going to have to read. Right? The Knesset HaGdolah is one of the sources. The Knesset HaGdolah was a Sfardisha. It was not an Ashkenazi Pesach. Now with the Sfardisha countries, the Olim self reads. They don't have a Balkriya. I remember there was a man, it wasn't too common, you know, there weren't so many Sfardim in New York at that time when I was. I don't know if I was Bar Mitzvah yet. There was a man, I think he was a Levi, and he came from Morocco. And he came to our shul. So the Rav let him. He gave him an aliyah, he wanted to read for himself. And he knew well. The Rav let him read. Choshev HaRav. Rav Blau, the one that put out all the Sforim. But he let him read. He used to read for himself. But he got the aliyah. So the Chayr, according to that, this is only the Chayr and Ashkenazi did. According to the Sfardim, there's no such thing. That there's no such thing that you don't read. Then there's another Shiloh, very interesting Shiloh here, and that is, let's first finish this part. Rakshiyir al-Hatas Ozno v'lishmoyam imenu. You should listen attentively. Don't interrupt the Saint Tamei Mishaberach. And the Vosh also Paskim, which is a Posh Adin. That if the guy has to bench a goyimel, it's not the time to bench a goyimel. He can bench a goyimel after the davening. When he heard the b'rem to be shaberach, shochach achaz v'shmoy b'shoy aloi. Let's say the forgot his name. So that's a very yidlichul yalma mutu lashiru v'nei ha-kovot. It's his covenant, the gavur's covenant. It's not b'chubba that they're fumping around it. G'shechoyzer achakach l'kriyash b'in tzoruch lachzor rak l'mokum sh'posak. He picks up where he left off. Even if the aliyah was that long that he could have read the whole Kriya Shema in that time, this is only with the Yevich. Forget Kriya Shema itself. Even if it's the only Kayan in town today, don't call him. The Lekal Mechash was the Gomel Kriya Shema Kriya Shema. You're calling him in place of a kohen. V'yishcholkim v'omer the gam v'zeh shayach b'kom al kohen. Then a kol yodim shu oisim b'kriyashma. So this is v'nira. The yishlismoch al hokol akrosim v'omid ben aprokim. Ben aprokim we should call the kohen. He paskins. V'yoyse toivim ein shom kohen alahu. What's the old eitzah? When I davened, there was a shul that I davened in East New York, Aaron's, in the Kitna Shtibel. So there was a man there, Mechel Roth, Olam HaShalom was his name. Mechel Roth was a kohen. Mechel Roth was a good guy. You know, there was a lot of times there wasn't a levy in the shul. So he didn't want to get to, on the weekday, he didn't want to take two aliyahs. So the people didn't want him to go out, you know, and he didn't care. He used to run out into the hall, and after the kohen, they called up the Yisrael, then he'd come back in, because he didn't want to take two aliyahs every Monday and Thursday. So the best is, Ela Yishayelech Veis HaKnesset Kodom Sheyikru L'Rishon, V'chein Adin B'Levin. And if there's a kohen and there's also, then they're going to have to call the levi. The levi should run out until they call the kohen a second time. V'nir ha'poshet dim ha'sei v'torah munach al ha'shulcha v'inam yishayuchu likruz bo. Then you're in trouble. Now they take out the Sefer Torah, and they look around the shul, and there's nobody to lay it except him. Ki im zeshu omid b'kriya shma b'rchosel, the kuliyama yochol l'hafsik v'nei kovar ha'torah. Then certainly you have to be mafsik because of kovar ha'torah.
But yet he's allowed to go back to where he was up to in kriya shma.
Yeah, achon menokel ho'u, the Sayyim lo matchilat ha'perek, if he can finish the perek without a tichad, it's where you Sayyim. Gam yimno zazmo liyosu ha'kori, he shouldn't serve as gavim, b'shem ha'kruim, shayalu l'torah, mitam hefsik, not to make a hefsik. And I once had, I was once davening in the Sig of the Shul on New Street. And that's in the days before I had a bid. And I was davening there one morning. Chassidish shuls I don't like, especially, I don't like Talin when I'm there. You know, they want their own style, their own havara, their own type of person, you know. And especially I didn't have a bid. So they didn't have someone to lean. So I first took a step forward before my seer started, and then I thought the better of it. So I just, you know, took a step right back. But one guy and somebody in the shul noticed that I took a step forward. So he came over to me, asked me if I knew how to lean. I said, yes. He said, so please come up and lean for us, you know. So I leaned. But it's, you know, there's Indian of Kovar HaTorah. They have to lean, and they're standing around, and nobody knows what to do. I tell all the younger chevra that I deal with, if you're going to become a rov, make sure you know how to lean. You know, you have enough problems running the shul, at least know one thing, that you're not dependent on another person to come. If you once you have the minion, if you have to lean, you know what to do. You'll get up there and you'll punch it out. So, this is an inyan of. It's a very interesting shaila. This is a litvish tshuva. The shaila is like this. Let's say it's Chodesh Elul, and there's nobody to blow the shofar. And you're, let's say, you know, you're at the second minyan, the first minyan's finishing, you guys are up to Birchas Kriyas Shema, and they're up to the David. So the Maharam Bris paskened that may not prokem, or let him blow the shofar for them. He says, what's his cheshbon? A poshul of cheshbon. That if a choshev a person comes in, you're allowed to say shalom aleichem, give him shalom. So this is covered for a whole tzibur, cannot conceivably be less than that. So Mameila, there's an Indian that you should, there's an Indian that you should blow the shofar for them. Very interesting.
How would the shofar be a hefsek? Why is it different than like clapping or something like that?
Because you're Isaac and something else. All the things that we might do in the midst of the tefillah, if it's to enhance our kavanas of tefillah, we have a shtickle excuse that it's not a hefsek. Other than that, it doesn't belong there. Whatever it might be.
Is it different? I'm saying motioning to somebody.
Well, what are you not supposed to do in the middle of the davening?
Consider it halachically absent?
It's inappropriate. You shouldn't do it in the middle of the davening.
Right.
Yeah. And it's saying it's not the same hefsek as talking, but it's wrong. Right. It's a hefsek.
I'm just wondering what the shofar would be to think in the realm of talking to him.
What?
He's suggesting that the shofar should be in the realm of talking, or that it would be in the realm
of... No, it's not in the realm of talking. It's inappropriate. You know, I think the pshat and the grah is, there's no question that many would disagree with me. The grah did not kiss his tzitzis in the middle of Parshas Tzitzis. So I think that the reason is that the goyim held it to hefsek. Since you're not mechuyev to do it, so maybe you have no right to be mafsek. You've been such a hefsek kal. And you mean the kalka of kavod mitzvah, all the cheshbonos are all very nice, all myself garnished. That's what I think the pshat and the goyim is why I didn't kiss the tzitzis.
We passed you to kiss the tzitzis, right?
What?
We pass you should consist this.
Whatever your lyric is.
I heard a rumor like in Slobodka,
I don't know what they did in Slobodka. That's the difference what they did in Slobodka right now. You know, I have no idea what they did in Slobodka, but you know, we're not in Slobodka, you know, so it was whatever your Messiah is, that's what you should follow. That's all, you know. If you have a Messiah to kiss, so then you can kiss. If you have a Messiah not to kiss, don't kiss. That's the equal of these things is Messiah. That's all. This is, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of things. Moshe was very, very makpid that people shouldn't change the Messiah. Even he had, for example, the Mechaber. It's based on the Arizal. The Arizal holds that when you put on the Tefillin Shel Yad, after you go around once or twice, that it's firmly tied, that you don't wrap the rest of the way. That it shouldn't be a hefzik in between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. And then you should put on the Shel Rosh, and after you finish with putting on the Shel Rosh, then you make the rest of the wines around the arm. We're not noyed like that. We're noyed that we do all the winding around the arm, and then we put on the Shel Rosh. So Rav Moshe Zatzal himself used to follow the Arizal in that, the Shulchan Aruch, that he only went once or twice around the arm till it was firmly tied. Then he put on the Shel Rosh, and then afterwards he did the rest of the krichas around his hand. But he told his Talmidim they shouldn't do that, they should follow the Shulchan Aruch. This is Cheshbonus, whatever his reasons that he does, follows that Shita, but then, what are they supposed to do? There's a Shulchan Aruch, that's what you're supposed to do. So that's what I said, the Iker is Masiris. That's all. Whatever your Masiris is, that's what you should follow. You know, there's no one particular Masiris that's more Choshu than any other one. Whatever your Messiah is, comes from Gdolei Yodim. It was from the greatest Talmidim of Avraham Kotler from Kletsk. There was a Yid, his name was an awesome guy. His name was Rav Shaya Shimonovitz. Zecher Tzadik L'Vroch. He was Rosh Hashanah and Yankov Yosef Yeshiva. I knew him. He used to daven with Mashur. He was much, much older than Mashur, but he davened together with Mashur. The people were stood in awe of him. He was going out there. So Mashur always told me the following from Shaya. He used to say like this. He said he was appalled with the expression that something is a balabatish minik. He says, who in the world do you think made the minhagim of Klal Yisrael? Balabatim or Goyna Yoylum that were Rabbonim and the Shtetlach? They're the ones that made the Minhogim. Balabatim reflecting in their Minhogim what the Rabbonim paskent. That's where the Minhogim and Klal Yisrael came from. So the Yikos Masiris. Whatever your Masir is, that's what you should keep on following. That's what I mean. I don't mean to denigrate any Masir, but it's not important to us what they did in Slobodka. You know? It's important what your Masir is. That's all.
Let's say they have a double down or a single down.
Yeah, I don't think that the double. I started with the double dalet. It's a very funny thing. My father, Olav Shalom, he once gave his tefillin epis to be checked, whatever, and the sefer gave it back to him with the single dalet instead of the double dalet. He wasn't so excited, but he left it that way. He didn't change it back. The double dalet, the Messiah on it is not so stark. The single dalet is far more meyushuf, you know, I'll be Messiah. So I mean, that's what personally, that's what I do, is I keep keep the single dalet for that reason. Yes. The square kasher is yesh loaded a lot on it. How ois gehalter it is. So, chalila not to say a person not yaitzim with it. Chalila to say that.
So, but in that case, that's different than...
I think it's really, we don't know so clearly that the square kesher, that it has really a strong Masera to it. There's a question of how strong the Masera of it is. And Mamela, it's a different type of situation. Again, a person has Masera, you know, the Iker is Masera. Whatever your Masera is, you know, as long as it's an obvious mistake in Halacha that somebody messed up. But if it's rooted to And a real Maser, that's the Ika. That's the Ika. The Ika is to remain with the Masers. Now, obviously, let's quickly go over Kedusha. Now, two things about Kedusha. In the middle of, basically, the whole Birchas Kriyashma and Kriyashma, when it comes to Kedusha, one can say Kadosh until Meloich HaLaretz Kavoidoi, stop, Baruch Kavod Hashem Kaimoi. The Chofetz Chaim holds that you should not say Yimloich in the middle of Birchas Kriyashma. According to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, you should say Yimloich, because he holds Yimloich as Me'ikra, the dinner of Kedusha, it's an Ikra part of Kedusha. That's a Machlokes Achareinu. And that's what Hayois, that most of us are not like the Chofetz Chaim, and this Hachro, is Memeila, but a Kedusha of Olam Tzion, there's also no we need to say Hashem Yimloich Le'Nogod out loud. It's not the Ikra. The Ikra is Baruch Kvar Hashem Kaimon Kodesh. Now, hang on, I had a very interesting shayla, the only shayla that I ever sent to Rav Henkin Zatzal. Rav Henkin was, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Zatzal, he was a Weltgoyim. I mean, it's all the Baruch Hashem, the schus that we had, that in this city at the same time, in the two Shechinim in the same neighborhood, you know, Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe Zatzal, Zichronim Levrocho, you know, from the world's greatest Paiskim, lived in our city, and there were kovei many of the things b'chlal that we do in our city and throughout the United States. So, it's a fellow I was friendly with, and his brother, I think, married a niece or a great niece of Rav Henkin, said, Hashem Brochus was by Rav Henkin. I don't know if his house or his shul, whatever, but so he was, I asked him, I had a shiloh, and I wanted to, so I asked him, and he asked Rav Henkin, so I have one psakra of Henkin. And the shiloh is what to do if you hear Kaddish in the middle of Shmon Esrei, or Kedusha in the middle of Shmon Esrei. So he said like this, and this was the Chiddush. The Chiddush, he says, if you're in the middle of a bracha, totally ignore it, and don't even change your speed. Keep going exactly at the same speed you always daven. When you get to the end of a bracha, then see what's going on. If you can listen to the Chaz and say it, say it. If you missed it, you missed it. That's it. But in the middle of a bracha, just totally ignore it and don't even speed up. Keep going at the same speed you always want. That's what he held. The other thing that I know I'll tell you, I don't fully comprehend the psak a little bit in the house of Brisk, maybe it stems according to the Briskis. My father, Lava Shalom, once davened with Rav Henkin one morning on the east side. I don't know if more than once, but one time he was there on the east side, he davened with him. And he was the Shliach Tzibur. So the Gabi told him, Rav Henkin was very old already, so he didn't have Kayach to stand up twice for Shmon Esrei and for Chazaros HaShatz. So the Gabi told him, he'll tell him when he's supposed to start, and then I'll start, and the Rav will get up for Chazaros HaShatz, but Shmon Esrei said, stood for the Chazaros HaShatz. Chiddush Nifla, I can't tell you why, I can speculate why, but that's Ma'isa Shehoye Kachoye. Yes, yeah, you wanted something.
I was going to ask about during the idea of answering, of saying along Kiddush, Kaddish, and Baruch with the Chaz, Kiddush and Baruch Kavod during the Mol Tzion with the Chaz, and I was wondering if you're supposed to be Mafsik and Pesukah Dizim or anything like that.
I don't know if you should be Mafsik and Pesukah Dizim, but I don't know that you should. Because I don't know if it's 100% Muskim, that it's a full dinner of Kodesh. Remember, most of the world is noyig that they say it themselves. They're not makbid, you know. We're noyig today like the Shitas that are makbid to say it, you know, with the tzibur. But it's an ish mukhruch. So I don't know that you should be mafsik in the middle. Yeah? In the middle of Ashra, after Shmon Esra, yeah, you should go and join them and say Kedusha with them.
Can I ask what the Rav was saying about from Rav Henkin about during Shmon Esra?
Yeah.
I thought the Mishneh Berurah said down like that. The Mishneh Berurah holds that you should stop and listen.
So the Chumash was not, I don't think, is clear. I don't believe that it does not address it directly. And that was Rav Henkin's perspective. That's what I should.
In general, we shouldn't speed up to get to.
Yeah, it's not. Daven. Daven. in a tranquil fashion is a tremendousness.
What if you're in the middle of that, or the end of that Kiddush?
That's only it's, if you're in the third Brocha, you're talking of Shemoneh Esrei, you can say Kad and Kiddusha together with the Chazan.
Even if you finished Tekel HaKadosh?
I don't know if you finished there, I'm not sure. L'chayra, according to the Mechaber, you probably should be able to, but I'm not 100% sure. But certainly if you didn't finish, because the Mechaber holds that, let's say I said Akel HaKadosh, I could say Masha Baruch HaMar Lageshem, I'm still at that point. It's still, right afterwards, it's still considered as part of that Baruch itself. In the midst of the bracha, you can say everything you want, as you can say what you want. I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal held that by Pesuka Dezimri, you should say the Kaddish. Hayes, the Dominica Hayom, was like a result to say the Kaddish and not like the Shulchan Aruch. And by Birchus Kriya Shema, we don't say the Kaddish. Okay, Rabbi Yisai.
If you're in the middle of Yotze Or, to the end of the Habokhet, I'm not sure.